So, Hare Krishna, you have arrived in this very nice pandal. It's a very spacious pandal where our morning program and our morning sessions will take place tomorrow. And I do not wish to speak in great. It's meant to be a surprise. You will have from this pandal the full darshan of Giriraj. In the evening during the Holy Name retreat, we will always have kirtans. And by having kirtans in the evening, we will really practice to chant the Holy Name. During these kirtan sessions, it is quite important, my dear devotees, that you can bring your mind or your heart to the sound which you are making. There is this amazing pastime which some of you have heard many times already, but I would like to say it in the outgoing. It's about a good kirtan. During one of his visits in Hastinapur, Lord Krishna laid the foundation for an important, maybe one of the most important lessons for all those who want to chant proper. In the afternoon, Princess Draupadi would always serve him fruits. She would not have any maidservant or any servant do this, but personally provided the Lord with a platter of fruit. Now one day, she decided to serve the Lord sitaphals. Sitaphal is a fruit which is very delicious. It is called after Sita, the wife of Lord Ram. And it is covered with a peel. It has many seeds, black seeds, which are really covered with this most amazingly tasting white fruit substance. Now the speciality about sitaphal is that in order to enjoy the fruit, you should cut it open and then immediately have it. You should not even wait a second like you do when you have an apple or an orange or a peach or anything. No, the sitaphal is best enjoyed by cutting it. Well, as first before cutting you might offer it, or you might offer a small portion of it. Cut it and immediately have it, and then it's an explosion, it's a symphony of good taste on the tongue. So in order to not waste even a second of her cutting and then passing the fruit to Krishna, that would be a second would waste. Sita Devi said, "My dear Lord, this afternoon I'm offering you sitaphal." Lord Krishna smiled. It was when Krishna smiles, it's most attractive to see his smile. It's a beam. It's like blossoming forth, his smile. And he smiled, but in an enigmatic or mysterious way. He took the knife, and although the Lord is called has one quality called daksha, very expert. As he was cutting the fruit, he was cutting in his finger, and blood came. Draupadi was disturbed. She said, "My Lord, you have cut yourself," and immediately, in a very unreflected, spontaneous gesture, she took part of her sari and ripped it and then handed the stripe of cloth to Lord Krishna so that he could quickly bind it over the wound and still the bleeding. This sari was a sari which she had worn on the day of her marriage. There are several saris which are worn on that day. So it was a very precious, it held very precious memories for Draupadi. But for Draupadi, she was so much a devotee. She was not even hesitating a fraction of a second to offer Krishna what was most dear to her. And Krishna took the stripe of cloth, smiled at her and said, "For this gift of a sari, I will reward you with millions of saris." Time went on. The fortune of the Pandavas turned against them. They lost everything in a game of dice. Light is very welcome. Thank you. They lost everything in a game of dice to Duryodhana. And in the end, Duryodhana said, "You can have everything back if you just place Draupadi as the wager." And Yudhishthira, who was overwhelmed with the fever, gave Draupadi as a wager, it's called, and lost Draupadi. Draupadi was just in her days, that time when the women are most fragile, most sensitive, and these uncultured men pulled her in the public assembly. Duryodhana said, "Now you are my maidservant. We want to see your naked beauty." And they, he ordered Dushasan to, to disrobe her. Draupadi had the, Dushasan had the strength of an elephant and was greedily pulling on the cloth to see Draupadi's, to see her. But Draupadi at that time turned to Bhishma and said, "Bhishma, you are the respectable elder of this assembly. See to it that no Adhama falls into this Kaurava dynasty and then destroys the dynasty. Please protect Dharma." But Bhishma turned away from her. Draupadi turned to the kings. Then she turned to Dhritarashtra. But when no one was willing to protect her, she took all her strength to protect herself. But what could she do? She was weak. When she lost control of the situation, she finally flung her arms into the sky and called out, "Krishna, Janardana, O Govinda." And as she called out like this, Krishna rewarded her for her gift of a sari a millionfold. He supplied, unseen to the impious rulers, the impious king, smilingly, like he had done when he cut himself deliberately. He supplied the sari, and a lot of sari came until the whole hall was filled with sari, and I believe they were suffocating in saris. that Lord Krishna can only do. So, my dear devotees, later Draupadi met Krishna and said, "My Lord, why did you come so late?" Krishna said, "Because in the beginning, when this happened to you. You were calling my name, but you were taking shelter at Bhishma. When you saw Bhishma couldn't help you, you took shelter and approached the kings. Then you went to Dhritarashtra. Only when you finally turned to me and chanted while taking shelter at my lotus feet. Then only I came and answered. So I believe here is a secret. Bhaktivinoda Thakur asked the question, whose prayer does Krishna listen to? And he gives the answer. He who practices surrender, his prayers are listened to by Krishna. When you automatically chant, when you chant out of routine, when you chant out of habit, or when you chant out of duty, because at a weak moment in your life you promised to chant 16 rounds without knowing what you were getting into it, then Krishna will not listen to your prayers. He won't hear you the way you want to be heard. Then Krishna is not so satisfied. So my dear devotees, as you are entering this evening kirtans, I request you to chant, but not mechanically, not automatically, not out of duty, not so tired. And then you will see that Krishna immediately fulfills his promise, in that is, yea tamang papadyante, in the degree someone surrenders unto me, I reveal myself accordingly. That you have to know. When you chant, it's time to surrender. Surrender is not necessarily an outward act. It's an attitude in the heart that, my Lord, I have forgotten you since so long. Now I'm turning to you as your serious servant. No? Surrender is an inner turning to the Lord. That is how the chanting works. So I would like to do a chanting session,
and then you speak, or I speak first.
First, Burijam Prabhu will address all of us. Please, Burijam Prabhu. But how do you all like the swan who chants? He has seen the essence of spiritual life, and the holy name comes out of his mouth. Beautiful, no? Svita Krishna Maharaj, no?
Conceived of it.
By the way, we are so happy to have Svita Krishna Maharaj here. He actually had a ticket which would have taken him out of Vrindavan maybe yesterday or something, but he prolonged with great sacrifice to be here, and we are very happy, and we pray that Giriraj will give you exactly what you want. Hare Krishna. Okay, so Burijam Prabhu, please, yes, tell us.
Hare Krishna.
I think you have a saffron one and I have a blue one. How interesting.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I would like to continue with what Maharaj was speaking about surrender and chanting the holy names in surrender. But I would like to speak about it from a slightly different point of view. I'll start speaking about Ajamil. What canto of the Bhagavatam is the pastime of Ajamil? Sixth canto. Thank you very much. In the sixth canto. And in the sixth canto, there are many mysterious things that are spoken about by Srila Sukadeva Goswami, to Maharaj Prakrit. And in the Ajamil pastime, we all know this pastime. Most of us know this, we could call it a story or a lila or a pastime, where Ajamil was a very good boy when he was young, and then he became contaminated. He was good and clean and brahminical and pure, and then his mind shifted by bad association with a prostitute when he was young, and he gave up his young and beautiful and qualified wife, and he started living with this prostitute. And this prostitute was interested in money, basically. And Ajamil, who was such a good young man, became a thief. He became a murderer. He became a gambler, a cheating gambler. He would do anything to present his wife, his partner, with the money that would please her. And she would cook for him. And his consciousness became terrible. It became degraded. It became ignorant. It became miserable. It caused harm to others. He caused harm to many others. That was his livelihood, causing harm to others. And then he had a young son, and his young son's name was Narayana. Those four syllables, Narayana, the name of Krishna. So when Ajamil was 86, perhaps, so old, and his son Narayan was 5 years old, there came that point in Ajamil's life that we choose not to think about for ourselves. It came the point where he would die, the point of his death. And he began calling out in this painful time, in this most painful time, which is compared to the, when you're being bitten, raise your hand if you've ever been bitten by a scorpion. Yes, someone actually has been bitten by a scorpion. You want to describe it? It was very painful. Saved your life. Was it painful? Yeah. How many of you have been ever stung by a bee? Okay, that's and you're still alive to tell about it. But even one bee sting, our consciousness just goes to the pain. And the time of death is compared to being stung by hundreds. The pain of the time of death is compared to being stung by hundreds of scorpions at the same time. We can't even imagine. And I had the amazing association of His Holiness Gunagrai Maharaj recently, went right before he left his body and during, up to the very moment when he left his body. And 2 days before he left, he said, "You can't understand what it's like. You can't understand what it's like. The soul is leaving the body that it has inhabited for so long. So what are you going to think about? What is going to occupy your mind when the pain of 200 scorpions is racing through your body and you can't breathe and your heart is not working? What are you going to think about? Whatever you're attached to, you will think about." And Ajamil, being so attached to his young son, called out Narayana, but not Narayana like that, but he called it out. Because we so much need shelter We need shelter in life. We normally go through our life and we imagine we're in control of what's going to happen next, and we try to control what's happening next. And we're really imagining that we're in control. And then all of a sudden, every once in a while, everything gets turned over. And suddenly, everything is out of control. Your mind goes wild. The pain doesn't allow your intelligence to work properly. You can't breathe. I don't want to give you all nightmares tonight, but Ajamil called out Narayan because we look for shelter. And where did he look for shelter? Not in the holy name of Krishna, not in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not in Giriraj Govardhan, but he looked for shelter in his son because of his attachment to his son. Now, philosophically, that's foolish. But that's the nature of the mind. It tries to hold on to something where one's affection is, where one's hope is, where one's happiness is, to the things that have proved effective in the past when we're in difficulty. We hold on. But Narayan was not only the name of his son, but an example that's there in the Bhagavatam, in the commentaries of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and also as pointed out by His Holiness Radha Govinda Maharaj and Radha Raman Maharaj, is that, say if there are two people, does anyone have a person in this room has the same name as them? I don't know if you can. Yes? Who? Sorry. Who? Balaram. You're Balaram. Where's the other Balaram? Balaram, Dusra Balaram Kaha? Where's second Balaram? Where is he? Well, I asked him. Okay, who else? You just ruined my whole presentation. Thanks. Okay, is there anyone else has a person in this room with the same name as them? Huh? Mukunda, where is Mukunda number one? Where is Mukunda number two? There. Okay. Now, okay. I'm not going... Mukunda Prabhu, Hare Krishna. Excuse me, but I'm not going to call out for you right now, okay? But Mukunda... Yes. Mukunda, come here. Mukunda, come here! Okay. Now, I was calling this Mukunda, but did it touch you? My calling him, did it touch you? You felt it? Yes. So even though Ajamil was calling that Narayan, his son, the real Narayan felt that he was calling me. Wonderful. And the Bhagavatam teaches us this hundreds of times. It wants us to be introduced. It wants to introduce us to Krishna. So we know his nature so that we can surrender to him. Because when we understand his nature and actually trust and have faith in this person, this supreme person, the supreme absolute truth who is all powerful, all beautiful, and all attractive, and full of sweetness, if we can actually get to know his qualities, him as a person, then we will be able to give ourselves to him in trust, in affection, and love. So the nature of Lord Narayan was that when Ajamil, who was a sinful fellow, called out his own son's name, Narayan, the Narayan, the supreme Narayan, he said, "Oh, my devotee is calling me." That's how he took it. What generosity of spirit. What generosity of heart. Kamva dayalam saranam brijema. Who could take shelter of a person who has this spirit. He's calling me, even though he wasn't even referring to him. And he thought, my devotee is calling me. It is my duty to give him protection. And therefore, he sent the Vishnudutas to stop the Yamadutas from taking Ajamil. So, the purport, does anyone know what, there's something in Sanskrit called Kamutya Nyaya? Raise your hand if you know what Kamutya Nyaya is. Yes, Maharaj. Yes, please.
It means the logic of so much more. When the Lord was already so merciful to Ajamil, although he did not intentionally call for him but his son, how much more will he be merciful to someone who consciously, with devotion and faith, calls him? This is the logic of so much more, or Kamutya Naya.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, during this retreat, we're going to be chanting, and this is a retreat. Now, no matter how we chant, we're in Vrindavan. We're at the in the shelter of Giriraj Govardhan. We're in the association of devotees. Even if we chant in the most superficial way, we'll gain so much. But as this pastime of Ajamil teaches, and as Maharaj has so very directly said, that how much more so will the result be there if we chant with surrender? What to speak of if we chant with great devotional love and longing? So, do the best you can. Practice. It's 6 days, which isn't a very long time. Try your best to be as serious, but yet, as Maharaj had said before, as relaxed at the same time as you can. Keep your goal to take shelter of Krishna, to surrender to Krishna, and there'll be so many opportunities because Vrindavan doesn't work according to the laws of consistency and the way that you expect things to happen. The lights can go, I won't snap my fingers now because nothing will happen. And then, but the lights can go off, the lights can go on. Sometime last year while we were giving classes, the monkeys were running on the roof of the, and they were doing monkey business and doing all kinds of things. And the bands could start playing, cows could walk through the door. Anything can happen, practically speaking, at any time.
An apocalyptical rainfall. Yeah. Did you remember?
Yes. Yeah. We went to Sarabikun one year. We were going to have our kirtan day at Sarabikun, and it started raining, and it rained all day long. And we had to come back to our pandal here, and we had to dig a big trench, a hole around it. Otherwise, we would all been washed away. And it was wonderful. Because we had nowhere to go except to the kirtan that was here. No one could leave because it was raining so much outside. So that's life in general presents us with so many surprises. In Vrindavan, this time, so many things that will happen will be not exactly as the way that you had hoped they would happen. So practice surrendering, practice taking shelter of Krishna when things don't go away, go the way that you want them to go.
No, I just, please, go.
Okay. Ha, ha, ha. We like to play. So, practice taking shelter of Krishna, meaning turning to Krishna. Krishna, please help me. Please help me. My mind gets upset. I get angry. This happens. That. Just practice, practice. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. You're my only shelter. Goptiptre varanam tatai. Take shelter of you. You are my master. I am yours. I take shelter. Practice, practice. And when the kirtan is going on, practice offering, making an offering of your ears and your tongue and your body and your mind to Krishna's holy names in the kirtan. Okay, now you can tell. Yeah. You want? No, you can.
Thank you very, very much. thank you very, very much for this very, let me say, you brought us really to the space where good kirtan can take place. And I must say, for my own devotional life, when I begin to understand how merciful Krishna is to me, then I'm ready. Then some devotion comes from my heart to him also. Where can I find such a nice Lord? And this is precisely the, let me say, the idea of surrender. It should not be like in the war. Surrender, whatever. I mean, I don't want to present a war scenario. It must be something voluntarily, something which is done out of gratitude, something which is done out of love, out of bhakti, and so on. Then it is very sweet and comes very easy. When we see the greatness of our Lord. And we will now have one concluding kirtan for this evening. I thank you very, very much, Bhujan Prabhu, where we will try to really apply what Bhujan Prabhu has requested us to do, to really be here, you know, be with the practice, be with the chanting. And it's easy because Giriraj is listening just how many meters away? 50, not 35 meters, feel I, maybe. And he's of course also on the altars. So I will say a few things. I have found a shloka which I had lost a long time. It comes from the Pandava Gita. Yes, the Pandavas express themselves to Krishna in these verses. And I would really like all of you to join us full-heartedly in this kirtan. I will not speak anything else. I will not hear anything else. I will not think anything else. I will not remember anything else. I will not worship anyone else. I will not take any other shelter. Krishna, your lotus feet are inside my heart. O Srinivas, O Purushottam, please engage me in your devotional service. My dear devotees, as it may be a little difficult to feel exactly like Yudhishthira, who spoke this, I will not speak anything else, I will not hear anything else. Please remember, you came to this retreat. The idea is that you want to be close to Krishna. You're here at Govardhan's side. He will hear you. And address him now. Address the Lord. As you sing, address him. There's a huge difference if I say to someone, "Oh, Mukunda, you are very good. You are very fine in your character." But if I, that's one way to say it. But if I say, "Oh, Mukunda, you're very good. You are very fine in your character." If I speak with feelings, the two Mukundas, as we hear, will listen.